Welcome back. You're listening to The Healthy Aging Show, and we are talking about arthritis with Susan Nessie of the Arthritis Foundation. Now, over the years, because this is something that has been as old as dinosaurs, there's been changes in treatment. Now, we don't know how the dinosaurs treated it, but how has treatment changed for people?
For rheumatoid arthritis, in the last 12 years, we've seen a dramatic change in treatment with the introduction of the biologic medications. And your listeners probably have seen the ads on television for Remicade and Humira and Enbrel. These are very specially made, very, very expensive medications in the $15,000 to $25,000 range. And what they do is they're specially designed to go into your body's immune or defense system and turn off defective trip switches in the lights along the inflammation highway. Now, these are switches that, if you want to think of Route 1 all along the shoreline here as your inflammation highway or your body's defense system. Some of the traffic lights in people with rheumatoid arthritis, and it's usually two or more, have defective trip switches. They turn to green to fight something like an infection, but they don't go back to red. And farther down the inflammation highway, another traffic light starts to see the joint if it was that foreign invader, and it attacks and destroys this. Now, this is one of about a number of theories about what causes rheumatoid arthritis, but these medications go in and turn off those defective trip switches, and there's a number of them. It can be different lights and different people and different sides of the same intersection in different people. The problem with these medications, though, and there's always a risk and a benefit with any medication, is because you're turning off your body's defense system, you can't get an infection while you're on these medications. So you need to work with your doctor, and in this case, usually a rheumatologist and arthritis specialist when you're on these medications. That's been a major advance, profound advance, because these medications stop joint destruction.
Now,
in osteoarthritis, however, the most common type, with the withdrawal of Vioxx and Bextra, we've actually done a two-step back. There is research going on new medications for osteoarthritis because pharmaceutical companies are well aware that the baby boomers are coming. But because of that whole controversy, the studies have to be a lot longer with a lot more people, and it has driven up the cost of the studies. And one of the basic problems with osteoarthritis that I mentioned earlier is we don't understand the basic process. What happens? Does cartilage degenerate first, or does bone change? It's clear both of them are important. It's not just cartilage and it's not just bone, but it could be that you get microfractures. For instance, have you ever stepped off a curve and gone ouch because you stepped off the wrong way?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That can cause a little microfracture in the bone. That may start the bone changing, and that may trigger the cartilage to change, or the cartilage may change first. We don't know, but what's important is that they both change. And people always ask about cartilage replacement, and we're actually funding a study at Duke, the Arthritis Foundation is, where they're making sheets of cartilage. It's just about to be used in small animals now to see if we can replace cartilage. But the problem is, by the time many people know they have osteoarthritis, the joint is so changed that even replacing the cartilage is going to be very difficult.
So much damage has been done.
Yeah. And our challenge right now is, can we, one, prevent the destruction from ever occurring? We know how to do that in the knees. Two, slow down the destruction. There was a hope that glucosamine would be that disease-modifying agent. We have those with these medications and older ones in rheumatoid arthritis. We don't have them in osteoarthritis. In gout, we have medications that are very old and a brand new one that control gout. The problem in osteoarthritis is, and by the way, glucosamine turned out, at least from the current studies, not to have that ability to slow cartilage destruction. That was the hope. It's the American studies say it doesn't work. Some of the European studies, especially the ones done on Donna by an Italian pharmaceutical company called Rota, they've done most of the research in Europe, say it does. In Europe, glucosamine is a prescription medication, and chondroitin is also a prescription medication.
Really?
They're not combined. The federal government just did a 5 or 6 year study, and they stopped it early because glucosamine did not appear to help. Problem is that they couldn't, because it's an over-the-counter medication, they couldn't find a pure form here, so they went to Europe, and they got glucosamine fluoride, which is a little different from glucosamine sulfate, the form we use here. And subsequent studies, as they went through this study, showed that fluoride form doesn't work. Our best advice at present is, if you're going to take glucosamine, let your doctor know. Try a good name brand. Don't go for a bargain basement, because it isn't regulated, and Consumer Reports has done studies to show that some Some brands of glucosamine have no glucosamine in them. By the way, in veterinary medicine, it's a prescription medication, and it is regulated.
Is it?
So I like to say that we care more about our dogs than we do
about
our own joints.
We usually do.
Yeah.
Now, we usually do take
Now, if someone wants to find out more about Consumer Reports, they can go to the library if they're not a subscriber.
Right.
That
and
way
they can
pick
also
it up.
Call us, and we can tell them what the current research says on glucosamine or any of the complementary therapies. You can go to our website at www.arthritis.org, or you can call us at 1-800-541-8350.
Okay, we'll try to repeat that again before. So get your pencils and papers and crank up those fingers so you can write.
Now, one of the medications is part of the chemotherapy family. One of the names that you mentioned? Because there's something new that I'd heard about.
Some of the methotrexate, for instance, is used in higher doses for cancer, but we use it in very, very low doses, sometimes in combination with those biologic medications, sometimes by itself for rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis. That's people about anywhere between 8% and 30%, depending on which study you read, of people with psoriasis go on to develop an inflammation in their joints called psoriatic arthritis. But for the most common type, osteoarthritis, we don't use those classes of medications. Those are the disease-modifying classes. That's what we're actually, what researchers are seeking now.
Now, we're still talking about treatment, not prevention.
That's right.
This is still an unpreventable, for the most part, disease.
No, osteoarthritis is preventable. Rheumatoid, we don't know how to prevent it. But osteoarthritis, we think, we at least in the knees, we can prevent it if people keep their weight down and keep moving. If we can't prevent it, at least we can slow its development and its progression.
That's the 4-to-1 ratio that we were talking about
right.
earlier. Okay.
Right. Medication is where we're slowly, hopefully, going to find new discoveries that will bring us new classes of medications. But there's also physical therapy, which helps immensely. Occupational therapy, that's to help you do specific tasks that you're having difficulty doing. And services like yours that help people remain independent and remain in their home.
Well, so many times we have just normal, what we consider to be normal body aches, and they either resolve themselves or we suck it up and we live with it by taking ibuprofen or Tylenol, or we self-medicate. When do we get to the point where we should seek the advice of a medical professional? Because some of the things that we're doing are not working, or they're counterproductive, or there's better treatments that they can be provided by our doctors.
The three warning signs for arthritis are pain in and around a joint that lasts more than 2 weeks. It's fall now, and if you're a weekend warrior, you go out and rake all the leaves in your yard. And you can be sore and have pain because you've overdone it and overused the joint. It usually goes away in a couple of days. This is pain that lasts more than 2 weeks. Inability to move a joint normally. Most people don't know what their normal range is, but they notice that they can't do something that they always used to do easily. Or stiffness, getting stiff and moving a joint, particularly in the morning, particularly after inactivity or after long periods of activity. And finally, for just some types of arthritis, swelling or inflammation around the joint, where you can see that the joint is swollen, and if you put your hand on it, it's going to be hot to the touch, and it can be red sometimes in color. Not all types of arthritis have the inflammation, but some types do show it at certain times.
The angry joint. Now, from a nutrition standpoint, how can you address reducing the inflammation as much as possible? Is there a combination
And I always like to say, for osteoarthritis, the most common type that affects most of us, the best exercise is push them back, way back from the table, because it's too much food and too little activity. That's the problem there. For the inflammatory types of arthritis, really, there are some foods that have a mild anti-inflammatory effect, but you cannot really treat it just with foods. I mean, we would recommend, for instance, that people with inflammatory types of arthritis might want to eat a cold water fish twice a week. But you would have to take so many fish capsules. Joel Kremer in Albany has done a lot of these studies with fish oil capsules. Very, very concentrated, very different from the kind you get. And the side effect, and this is after taking like 35 a day, is fishy breath. And they found that subjects in the study didn't want to put up with the side effects.
It was also upset stomach, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the recommendation is to try to get it from natural sources. But even then, how much do you have to consume to get to the equivalent of 35 capsules?
Very mild effect. You need to do the standard treatments that we know reduce inflammation. Because the problem with the inflammatory types of arthritis is inflammation is destructive, not only to the joints, but to other internal organs. And we particularly worry now about the heart, especially in people with rheumatoid arthritis. We know that people with rheumatoid arthritis, on average, die 10 years younger than their counterparts without. And the research is suggesting that it's the infectious causes, and particularly the infectious causes on the heart that may be responsible for that, as well as infections like pneumonia. With these new drugs, we're not sure, and it's going to take probably another 10 years before we have a good answer, if that's going to change. But people say, oh, I don't want to take those medications. They have so many side effects. And this is a discussion that you have to have with your doctor, especially for the inflammatory types of arthritis, with your rheumatologist or arthritis specialist. And I know that one of the things people always say is, well, what type of doctor treats arthritis? For the most common type, osteoarthritis, it's your primary care doctor, your internist or your family doctor, who's really the place to start. And then for osteoarthritis, orthopedic surgeons are often very good at treating osteoarthritis. Just because they have surgeon after the name doesn't mean that they don't do the diagnosis and non-surgical treatment of the disease. But they can also do surgery, and there are a number of types of surgery that can help certain types of osteoarthritis. For people who have inflammatory types of arthritis, sometimes your primary care physician will refer you to a rheumatologist, and that's an arthritis specialist. And they are very, very familiar with diagnosing and treating these types of arthritis.
What about a physiatrist?
Physiatrist is also another type of physician that can be very, very helpful. That's a physician who's skilled in physical medicine or rehabilitation medicine. And they can often help, especially if you can't take a lot of the current medications, the aspirin or the aspirin-based medications, because they upset your stomach, or you're on a drug like Coumadin, or you just can't, for other reasons, high blood pressure, take those medications. Physical medicine between a physiatrist and a physical therapist can do an awful lot to help.
Now, something that I had read last night, because there was discussion about antioxidants, of which vitamin E is one of them. And a couple of the articles that I had read, which I don't believe they were your site, but they recommended vitamin E. Vitamin E has been linked with a number of issues and has actually gone off the recommended list by most physicians as far as daily intake outside of your multivitamin.
And that's really from more recent studies. In general, if you eat a healthy diet, you shouldn't have to supplement. Now, sometimes in women, especially women who are at risk for osteoporosis, the physician will recommend calcium combined with vitamin D, because you need both to make it work, or sometimes a multivitamin if you don't have a good diet. But in general, you don't need to do a lot of supplementation. You can always call and ask us, and we will tell you, because the Arthritis Foundation does for arthritis, tell you what we know about the various vitamins, supplements. We actually publish in our magazine, Arthritis Today, Vitamin and Supplement Guide, usually once every couple of years, and we also publish once a year a medication guide. So it shows you for all the different types of arthritis what medications are approved by the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, for that type of arthritis, and it tells you how they're used and a little bit about their side effects.
Okay. Now, before we started, I mentioned to you calcium buildup, and I think I called it calcification, which you said was an old term, which only goes to show where I came from. But I had associated arthritis with a calcium buildup and the irritation that that creates on the joints.
Sometimes what happens when the joints change shape is that they can develop spurs. They're common in the shoulders, sometimes in the knees, in the hands, those bumps. You tend to see those hard bumps next to the joints next to the fingernail, the two joints closest to the fingernail. Those can be from a change in the bone.
Okay. I do recall having heard of bone spurs.
We do have a lot of opportunity in this body, don't we? During the course of the year, you've got a number of lectures out here in the field for all of us to learn more.
Mm-hmm. We partner. The Arthritis Foundation is unusual for our education programs, for our exercise programs, and for our self-management or self-help programs. The way we deliver to them is we design them with experts. We do the research on them to show that they're safe and that they're effective in symptom reduction. But then we partner with community sites. We give them free to community sites. For instance, last week on Tuesday, we were at Greenwich Hospital doing a seminar on arthritis with an orthopedic surgeon. On Thursday night, we were at the Monroe Public Library with Representative Deborah Lee Hovey, who hosted a seminar on arthritis and exercise, and we had a rheumatologist from Trumbull speaking about arthritis. We have exercise programs throughout the state, and those are in conjunction with places like WISE and assisted living sites. For instance, the Benchmark and Atria assisted living chains offer our exercise programs, and Benchmark even offers them free in the community. And we have a number of sites with warm water pools, town park, and rec departments. It varies. Wherever we can find a community agency that's interesting in partnering with us, we provide the program free through a written agreement, and we train folks from their site who meet basic qualifications, usually some exercise experience and CPR training, which we require of all our exercise instructors. And we have something like, I want to say in Connecticut, 55 or 60 sites offering our exercise programs, and we'll have from 15 to 20 seminars throughout. For instance, our oldest partnership is with Bridgeport Hospital, and we've been working with them 12 years, and we offer 4 hip and knee seminars a year in conjunction with them, and that's around the greater Bridgeport area.
I think that's how I met you.
Yeah.
Those are very informative. Yeah.
The Arthritis Foundation is a national organization, so
that's
you have chapters and offices nationwide, so someone that's listening to this can look, that might not be in the Connecticut area, can look online for your presence in whatever state that they're in.
You can go to our website at www.arthritis.org, type in your zip code, or if you want to help someone in another state, type in their zip code, and you'll find the address of the nearest office that can help you.
Okay. Now, Sue, how are you funded?
We are funded by voluntary donations from individuals, by memorial donations, by annual donations, by bequests, by grants from corporations and pharmaceutical companies, a whole host of ways. And then we do special events. For instance, we have our Rose Day coming up, and that's where we, like the American Cancer Society does daffodils in the spring, we do roses over the Christmas holiday. And so sites can sell roses, and I think it's $20 a dozen. And a portion of that goes toward the Arthritis Foundation. We have a Pandora bead, I'm wearing one today, that's a specific arthritis bead, and it has our Take Control message that's the Arthritis Foundation's tagline on it, and that's something.
And you have also walks, right?
We have walks. We have one that's in Fairfield every year, and it's the first Sunday in May. We do special events. We just did a special event for the introduction of the Whale, which is the new successor to the Whalers, our state hockey team, right? For many years, we worked with Randy Etzel from, I know, UConn football. I don't know how well it's followed this end of the state. That's our best football team since we don't have a pro team, and they're doing very well because a lot of his players were at risk for osteoarthritis, as are hockey players from the injuries. We do many, many other events, but the walks are the ones that most people know, and it makes sense because that's the thing that it's most difficult for people with arthritis
to do.
Is to walk. So our walks are not just fundraisers, but they're also exercise that we recommend, and they're educational events, and they're designed to be done. You don't have to walk long distance. You walk as far as you can walk. You can walk to the edge of the parking lot and back, and that's the distance you can do. We're going to cheer you on because it's important to keep moving.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I think that this has been very informative. I've learned an awful lot because I think everybody has limited knowledge and probably more misconceptions about arthritis than facts. So you've cleared up a lot, and the website is a great place to go. And there's an abundance of research material that's available, and some of it will be up on our website as well as this interview. So thank you very much, Susan, for coming and visiting with us.